morning. I am happy to be in a beautiful facility that has great air conditioning and have good health and the ability to Did I guilt you so much you're going to work to the other side? Okay, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. All of our songs this morning are songs of praise and worship. It reminded me, if you think about it, the nation of Israel, they would, obviously, they didn't have the Word of God the way we do. They could probably, as families, be able to meet and sing and worship together, but they didn't have availability like we do to be able to come together and sing praises and worship. Five times a year, they would have major feasts, and all the families would go like in caravans up to Jerusalem. Can you imagine what it was like to have to wait, but to have one of those opportunities where all the nation was gathered together at Jerusalem to come to the temple and worship together? It must have been an amazing, amazing thing to be a part of. But we get to come every Sunday and be together to worship, to enjoy each other's fellowship and company, and to lift up Jesus Christ. So I'm glad you're here. I trust you are as well, and I hope you're ready to worship, because that's what we're here for. I invite you to stand as we begin our worship service and prayer, and then we'll sing some great songs together. Father, you are worthy of praise. You are the God of the universe. We look at the from Psalm 8, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars that you've ordained. What is man that you're mindful of him, that you care about us? But you loved us so much you were willing to send your son for us and die. And you actually love for us to just come and sing to you and praise you. You say it's an offering of our hearts to you, and you accept it as that. And we just pray this morning that all the songs we sing would not just be music, but that we would recognize the messages that are in them, recognize that it's supposed to be taking our hearts and tuning them up to praise you, to be reminding of us of how much you love us, of how worthy you are of our worship and our praise. And we just pray that everything that's done this morning would do just that. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. Start with a great hymn. Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer.
Praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, his wonderful love proclaim. Hail him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to his holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. King. Christ is coming over the world victorious, power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Got a couple of scripture and spiritual songs we haven't sang in a while, probably. This is a great praise song. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, taken from Psalm 8, recognizing the greatness, the vastness, the unmatchableness of God.
O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, we praise your name. O Lord, we magnify your name. Prince of Peace, mighty God. O Lord God Almighty. O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, we praise your name. O Lord, we magnify your name, Prince of Peace, mighty God, O Lord God Almighty.
One more time.
O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, we praise your name. O Lord, we magnify your name, Prince of Peace, mighty God. O Lord God Almighty, Prince of Peace, mighty God. O Lord God Almighty.
Amen. You may be seated. God is the rock of our salvation. He is our fortress, our protector, the one we run to, and we should call upon Him. He is worthy to be praised.
I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
Who is worthy to be
praised? Who is worthy to be praised?
So shall I be saved,
so shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Who is worthy to be praised?
So shall I be saved
from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
Who is worthy to be praised?
Who is worthy to be praised? shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
Praise to the Lord, who, the King of creation, who wondrously reigneth. Oh, all that is in me, adore him.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters me under his wings,
yes, so
gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how all thy longings have been granted in what he ordaineth? Praise to the Lord, who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, if with his love he befriend. Praise to the Lord, oh, let all that is in me adore him. All that has life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again. Gladly for I we adore.
One more before Steve comes up and shares from the Word. Philippians 2 tells us that one day Jesus Christ is going to set foot on this earth to rule and to reign as the King. And on that day, it says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father. Well, we get to practice that now, because I don't want to be in that crowd that's forced to bend down and bend the knee. I don't want to be in the ones that have been bending my knee all along and worshiping. And that's what this song calls us to do. Come, let us worship and bow down.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand, and the sheep of His hand. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. The sheep of His hand, and the sheep of His hand, and the sheep of His
Good morning. Today's reading is not what's in the bulletin, but thankfully it is conveniently the psalm before what's written in the bulletin. The reading today is Psalm 111. Please feel free to follow along in a Bible you brought with you, or one in the pew, or just be blessed by listening. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, in the company of the upright and in His assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is His word, and His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has given food to those who fear Him. He will remember His covenant forever. He has made known to His people the power of His works, in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of His hands are truth and justice. All His precepts are sure. They are upheld forever and ever. They are performed in truth and righteousness. He has sent redemption to His people. He has ordained His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Father God, I am so happy that You have commanded us to praise You. And Lord, that here today in the company of the upright, I can praise You with a whole heart. Lord, we praise You, as it says here, for Your great works, both in nature and as recorded in Your word, the great works of the past that You have done, to save and preserve Your people Israel, and Lord, to call upon the Gentiles to come forth and Lord, be in Your family as believers and those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I am thankful that Your word is true and Your precepts are sure. And Lord, is the only stabilizing base in a world that's lost its mind. And Lord, I'm thankful that from my own personal experience, I understand that your fear, that Lord, trusting in your word and in your precepts, that the fear of you was the beginning of having wisdom and insight that those who don't follow you have. They don't have that, Lord. And I'm thankful that you've given that to those who study your word. Lord, thank you for giving us this opportunity to worship you in singing praise to you, Lord, in the reading of your word and the preaching of the same. I thank you for our pastor, Steve, who loves your word, who loves you, and who loves us, his flock. Lord, I pray that you'd put in his heart and in his mind what you would have him teach us today, and that we would have ears to hear and take to heart what we do here. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Great to see each one of you here on this Lord's Day, this Memorial Day weekend. I was thinking of that. You all, I believe, understand Memorial Day is when we celebrate the lives of those who served in the military in the past, whether they've already passed away or whether they are still alive. But I was thinking of this verse in Proverbs 10:7. It says, "The memory of the righteous is a blessing." The truth is, all of us as Christians are soldiers. We are workers, we are servants, we are saints, we're beloved of the Lord, we are soldiers. And as you know, sometimes the Christian life can be pretty hard. And God wants us to keep soldiering on, keep serving him and realizing that we are fighting for him. So in some ways, I was thinking we need to think about our own people, not just in one day a year, but the memory of the righteous. Think of those who have continued serving the Lord. And there's a number of people in this room here that I know have served the Lord a long time. And it's whether it's a day or whether it's 50 years, it's encouraging to remember, because everybody, my wife and I were talking about this last night, even with people we know in our church, and we're not going to say any names, but we know that everybody has stuff that can be very, very difficult. And very, very, very difficult. And we don't all understand what everybody's going through. Not that we need to know that, but life can be very hard. And to keep going through life when it's be difficult is again, not easy. But it's by the God's grace. He keeps us going. We all know that. So anyway, the memory of the righteous is a blessing. The second half of that verse sort of goes along with our message really this week and next week. It says the name of the wicked will rot. It says, whoa. So you have this contrast between the righteous and the wicked. The memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. We're going through Psalm 92. I was reading this probably 2 months ago. Part of my everyday reading in the morning is to go through the Psalms, and I was just impressed by this. I kept reading it. Like, usually I read one Psalm one day and another the next day. I just kept reading it day after day because it was so good, and I said, I got to teach on this. But it tells us how we're to look at our lives, and that we are to look at our lives from God's perspective. We oftentimes look at life from our own perspective. We see the unrighteous, we see the enemies, and get focused on them, or we'll focus on our own lives and think of our own situation, our own problems, our own difficulties, and we need to see our lives the way that God sees them. That's what we're saying. But it's not just a matter of seeing our lives the way that God sees him, but knowing that God is working in our lives, working in the lives of the righteous and working in the lives of the unrighteous. It was a week ago today. I don't know if you heard what happened. It's one of the biggest, I think, events that's taken place in our world the last 2, 3, 4, 5 months. Huge. And most people don't see it this way, but I do. It was the death of the top two Iranian political leaders in a helicopter crash. It was last Sunday, okay? Huge. Number one, we know that God is sovereign over the death of every person. Number two, we know clearly the Bible says that God is sovereign over the death of those who are leaders, those who are rulers. This one is Iran. the country that is more opposed to Israel than any other country in the world by far. They always say, death to Satan, and that's us, and death to the little Satan, and that's Israel. They're the ones that really got this war in Gaza going. They're behind it that started back in October. The leaders, the president said, there's no Holocaust. He's a Holocaust denier and hates Israel, and a lot of the bad things that happen relate to this president and the vice president. Very rare to have two leaders, the number one and two, in the same helicopter, but they did it, and something happened. Whether it's an accident or not, we don't know. There's no accidents with God, but I thought, wow, here's Iran. It became named Iran back in 1936. It used to be called Persia, which is a biblical name. You got Medo-Persia back in, 300-400 B.C. Persia is going to be one of the end times countries opposing Israel. That's in Ezekiel chapter 38. So I just was struck by that. And there's a little story, biblical, and you know this one. It's in Acts 12:23. I was going to quote this verse here. It says, the angel of the Lord struck him, that is Herod, because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten with worms and died. Whoa. Here's this king, giving praise to himself and this great ruler. Angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten with worms and died. God's sovereign. That was no accident. What happened a week ago Sunday was no accident. God is working. That's my point here. God is working in our lives, whether we think about it or not, whether we realize it or not. He's working the lives of the righteous and the unrighteous. That's sort of the overall theme of Psalm 92. And so looking at life from God's perspective is a major theme in God's Word, and especially in Psalms. I was just looking at a few. Psalm 1, Psalm 5, Psalm 9, 10, 11, 18, 37, 55. All talk about this big picture theme of God and the righteous and the unrighteous. And you read the Psalms that way. You think, well, there's God, there's the righteous, there's the unrighteous. And we have to understand this because we live in an evil age, in an evil world. We need to know that God is sovereign, that God's working in our lives, and he's working in the lives of the unrighteous as well. That is what's taking place. Psalm 92 then is broken down into three parts. Psalm verses 1 to 5 that focuses on God. Verses 6 to 9 focuses on the unrighteous. And verses 10 to 15 talk about the unrighteous, or the righteous. And so today is verses 1 to 5. And then next week is going to be verses 6 through 15. But let's turn to Psalm 92. I just want to read these verses, and then we're just going to go through them. Psalm 92, verses 1 to 5. Psalm 92, verse 1 says, it's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night, with a 10-stringed lute and with the harp, with resounding music upon the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the works of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord, how your thoughts are very deep. So let's go through this just verse by verse here. A lot of things to be said here that are important for us. First one talks about God's name. We've talked about this before. The word name is a big word. It's talking about the entire person of God. That is who he is, which is a huge subject. Who is God? And then what he is like. That is his character. Verse 2 then, you see it talks about his loving kindness. And God's love, that is his goodness and his kindness and his mercy, is unfailing. It is that which is infinite. It is that which is eternal, that which is personal and unconditional. But I like the idea of it's personal. It's important for us to realize this. God, personally, if you're a believer in him, he loves you. He loves you to pieces. He really, really does. It's a personal love. Verse 2 also talks about God's faithfulness, a very, very important word to understand. It's also translated as steadfastness, as firmness, as fidelity, even sometimes as the truth. And the idea is that God is a faithful God. He's solid. He's steady. He does not change. He keeps going, and he keeps carrying out his plans. He keeps doing his work. And as I mentioned last week, all God's work is done in truth. It's based on the truth. Nothing God does is done apart from the truth. As people, you all know this about yourself, we're not steady. Well, usually, maybe sometimes you are, but sometimes we're not. That's the point. We're not always steady, not always faithful. We go up and down. We get emotional, right? We get off track. Sometimes we do what is good, and sometimes we do what is wrong. That's just the way it is. But God, He's faithful. He's always the same. He's always doing what is right and loving. Psalm 145, verse 17, captures that last thought. It says, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His deeds. A good verse for you. It's a good life verse. The Lord is righteous in all His ways towards you, and He is kind in all His deeds. Verses 4 to 5, then, talks about God's works, okay? About what God does, about what He accomplishes. And God works all the time. He is faithfully working all the time, whether it's in your life, the lives of people in this room, the lives of people in this city, or the lives of people around this world. The verse, John 5:17, simple verse I've stated before. Jesus says, my Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working. So you think about that. God is always working with you. You don't always think about it or realize it, but my Father is always at His work to this very day. Verse 5 then talks about God's thoughts, and of course God's thoughts are very deep, they're very profound, they are detailed, they're not simplistic, they're not shallow, they have real depth to them. And God's thoughts then, what God thinks then, that's the basis then for His works, for what He does. So we've talked about God and what He's like. We understand that God is personal. He's personally involved in every person's life. He's personally working in every person's life. And that's the way He is with the psalmist, was with the psalmist, and that's, of course, the way He is with us. And we're to rightly then respond. So we see here in this psalm, it's a response then to the work of God. We start off, it's good to give thanks. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. So it's a response to the work of God in our lives and the lives of others. We're to rightly react to His work, to His love for us. That's what we are to do. And again, how we're to respond to God is talked about here in Psalm 92. So verse 1 then, let's, I'm going to go back and just give you a few overview thoughts for the first five verses. Let's go back then. It starts off by telling us the main way, the primary way that we're to respond to God, that we are to worship God. And it starts off, says, hey, it's good to give thanks to the Lord, which is one very specific way that we are to worship God. And thankful means we are ones who are seeing what God is doing. We're seeing who He is. We're seeing what He's like. You know, in life, we see that He's good to us, that He's kind to us, that He's faithful, that He is working, and then we'll respond to Him. So it's recognizing the work of God, it's seeing the work of God, then responding with appreciation and gratitude and thankfulness. This is so important, being thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. Everything. So you think about that. A lot of things happen every day in your life, right? And everything give thanks, for this is God's will. Second, it says we're to sing praises. Second part of that verse, sing praises to Your name, O Most High. It says to God Most High. I like that phrase. It means God is supreme. God is far, far, infinitely greater than any other being. And we need to understand that. This word, sing, I was looking up. What I understand is looking at the Hebrew is that it's a general word. And the word sing can refer to, what I understand, to using your voice to worship God, but also using an instrument to worship God. Or at times, some people are skilled, they can do both at the same time. You know, they can sing, like at the guitar with Steve, and they can play the guitar, okay? That's what we're talking about here. And of course, we understand this had happened. This is talking about something that happened, 3,000 years ago. Throughout history, people have used their voices and have used instruments to worship God. That's what we're saying, and God is just saying, this is a good thing to do here. It's a good thing to worship in this way. And so being thankful then and singing praises are both ways that we can worship God, that we can honor and glorify Him for who He is and for what He does. And the rest of the psalm then gives more information as to why and how we're to worship God. God explains the basis for worshiping God. It then tells us steps that need to be taken that will lead us and enable us and motivate us to be ones who are singing to Him, be ones then who are thanking Him. So to go to verse 2, which we've looked at before, but I want to talk about it a little bit more. It's a very important verse. It says, to declare your love, declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. So you're to declare God's love in the morning. In the morning, you're thinking about the day, right? And one thing it says here to do is what? You're to declare God's love in the morning. But I don't think the verse just says that. I believe it implies a whole mindset. And the whole mindset is you're declaring God's love because you're expecting God to show you his love during the day. And you are looking forward to God showing you his love for the day. That's what we're saying here. And this then is very, very important that you, as a believer in the Lord, getting up in the morning, get your coffee, get awake, whatever. You have some time where you're declaring the love of God. And then as you go through the day, you are expecting God to show you his love and you're looking forward to his love. That's what we're saying. And this is important. And you think about this in terms of practical applications to this message. Do this tomorrow, right? Monday. You may have not done it this morning. We'll do it Monday. Then I would, if I were you, I'd make this a goal. My goal this whole next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, is to do this right here. Declare your love in the morning and then your faithfulness at night. That's what God wants for us. Now, when we talk about God's love, of course, talk about looking forward to his love. We're talking about the totality of his love because love is a big word. It can mean compassion and forgiveness and goodness and kindness and mercy. There's more facets even than that, but that's what we're talking about. Looking forward to God showing you his love, however he might then show that love to you. And so this then, expecting God, looking forward to his love, is a very important thing for your life. And really then, it's what God wants for every day of your life and really will affect your day. I mean, I'm sure you've got up in the morning, it's happened to me sometimes, and you're up, you're there in the morning and maybe a little groggy or you're expecting bad things to happen, right? Well, it's not going to be a good day. I just can feel it in my bones. It's not going to be a good... You ever done that? You just have this sense or whatever it is, you're just thinking that way. And you should not think that way. You should not think that way. That means you're lacking faith. That means you're not trusting God. That means you're not expecting God to show you his love during the day. Okay? Very important. And sometimes we're a little emotional. Sometimes you're just, you know, things have happened or we're tired or whatever. Things have happened yesterday. You don't know if they're going to continue into the present day or the next day, and you just got this bad mood, spiritually speaking, and God says, no, you're not to do that. So verse 2 then says you're to declare God's love in the morning, to expect God to show you his love during the day, and then you are to declare his faithfulness at night. Very simply, it means you're to declare how God faithfully showed you his love during the course of the day. That God was showing you his love in different ways. He was working on your behalf. It means you look back over the day and you see and think about specific ways that God showed you his love. That's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about. I think of that Psalm 136. I think you know it, but it's 26 different verses about the journey of the Israelites going through the desert and up to then the promised land. And it has repeats 26 times, his love endures forever. And when you look at the verses, you see all these different ways that God showed his love to them. So that's what we're saying. We're saying God is very diverse and very diverse in his ways that he expresses and shows his love to you during the course of your life. So again, this is very practical thing you can do. Declare God's love in the morning and declare his faithfulness at night. It's practical. I believe it's very important. And I will say this. I believe it's life-changing. Life-changing. As you are a believer in the Lord and you are expecting his love, you're looking for his love, you're declaring in the morning, that's what God wants you to do. Now, I want to just amplify a little bit on this thought. If we are doing this, if we're declaring and proclaiming the faithfulness of God, then what does this mean? I got 9 different thoughts here. First of all, it means that during any given day, you know what's going on. You're aware of what's happening. You're thinking about what's going on, what's happening in your life and the lives of others. Sometimes we just go along, we're just oblivious for whatever reason, I'm not going to go into different reasons why we might be oblivious, but we need to be aware and thinking, aware and using your head to think, well, what's going on here? What's happening? Okay? Because God is working in different ways. Secondly, then, it means you're not forgetting what happens. Remembering what happens. Sometimes, I'll be it myself, I'll admit, I at the end of the day, what happened today? Oh, I sort of forget. I mean, you like that sometimes? The end of the day, and you might remember one or two things, but lots of things happen every day. Every day. And God wants you to remember. Third means you're not just thinking about what happens. You're not just looking at the surface on the surface of things, but you are thinking about why things happen, the reason that things happen. Psalm 111, verse 2, which Jeff read, says, great are the works of the Lord. They are studied. They are studied. You know what the word study means? They're studied by all who delight in them. So you think about what's going on. And you study them. And you conclude, man, that's the great works of God in my little old life during this day. That's what we're saying here. It's important. You realize then that life isn't just a matter of what you do, but what God is doing. And the reason why things happen is because God is personally working in your life and working in the details of your life as well. That's what you have to understand. That's what God is like. You know the verse, I've said it many times, but it says in Proverbs 16:9, it says, man plans his way and the Lord directs his steps. So you get up in the morning, and I'm sure this happened today. You think about, okay, what's going to happen on this Sunday? And you might think of two or three, four things. You have an overall plan, an overall idea. I'm sure if I asked any one of you, what are you going to do today? You'd tell me a few things, okay? That's perfectly normal. That's good to do, to think about the day ahead. But that second part of that verse, man plans his way, but God directs my steps. Now, we can talk about physical steps. You all know people have these little things that check their steps out, you know. So I Googled today and found out the average number of steps a person takes is the average. Average number of steps a person takes per day is 3,500, which is about a mile and a half or so. 3,500 steps, okay? But I'm not just talking about physical steps that God is aware of and that God directs, but every facet of your life. The different interactions and relationships and things that are going on and the temptations, he's directing. Every step. Wow, this is huge. We think about the ways God thinks about the steps. It's really a wonderful truth because God is a good God, a gracious God, a powerful God, and to know that he is sovereign over our steps is very encouraging. You know that God's work in you relates to you physically and emotionally and relationally and mentally and spiritually. We sometimes think just spiritually. God's thinking about your whole entire life. Okay, those five things I just mentioned. Spiritually, of course, is really what's foundational, what's most important. But think about that. God's working in every aspect of your life. Next, and we know this one, God is sovereign. All things are going according to his plan. He is working all things together for good. So whatever happened this past week, whatever happened yesterday, God was working. Working all things together for good. Whatever happened, good, bad, ugly, whatever, God's working it all together for good. That verse in Psalm, Proverbs 20 says, the steps of man, again, the word steps, the steps of man are ordained by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his way? Which is a very helpful verse. Because sometimes I'm going through life as this, man, not always like this, but sometimes life is confusing. And I can't figure it out. And I like to figure things out. I think you're probably like that too. What's going on here? And why is it happening? God doesn't always let you know why it's happening. The steps of man are ordained by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his way? And next, you know that what happens to you during any given day relates to the love that God has for you. This sort of relates to before we talk about declaring God's love in the morning. God shows you his love during the day. The things that happen to you during any given day relate to God's love for you. You know the verse in Psalm 23:6. I'm going to add to it a little bit here. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Here's my addition. Surely goodness and mercy, or goodness and love, will follow me all day long and all the days of my life. Okay, I think we can say that, right? Isn't that true? Surely, goodness and love will follow me all day long and all the days of my life. So important. Next, you realize the value, the importance of each day. Because God is working. He's always working. He's working in your life and lives of others and this church and Bethel and people in the city and the state, the country, all over the world. God's working. You think about that. We're all like that. I'm like this. I get thinking about myself. What I'm going to do. What's going on with me? Okay, that's pretty normal, and we need to think about that a little bit. We need to think about what we're doing and where we're going. That's important. But broaden your mind and think, man, God is working in everybody, everybody in my family, everybody in this church, everybody in this world, right at this very minute and all day long. God is working and doing his work and is accomplishing his purposes. It's profound. It's just stunning. It's hard to just imagine, mind-blowing what God is God, and that's what's going on. And that's what we're talking about today, the work of God in our lives and the lives of other peoples, both the righteous and the unrighteous. So again, this is important. You realize the value, the importance of each day. Because sometimes you go along, oh, it's another day. Don't ever think that way. Every day is important. The value of every single day. Finally, then, you realize the importance of these two times, these two bookmarks, that bracket every day, that you're to declare God's love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. And that's what I would say God wants for the rest of your life. That's how you should live. God gives us days, right? Every day, there's a day, 365 days a year, 366 this year, okay? Every day, that's how God organized time with days. We want to live one day at a time, then go to sleep, okay? So days are important in the work of God. So, verse 3. We talked about worship in verse 1, and here we read about it again. Of course, this means that it must be very, very important. This is what I understand from this verse. Sometimes you understand it to some degree, and I think I do. But it speaks of three instruments, the lute, the harp, and the lyre. All are stringed instruments. And stringed instruments, as you all know, are more soft. Usually, the more soothing, okay? And I say that because we're talking here about worship, and sometimes as believers, as Christians, our hearts need to be stilled, need to be soothed, need to be calmed down. In fact, I was reading in Psalm, I think it's 131. It says, I will calm and quiet my soul. And I believe one way to calm and quiet our souls, of course, the Word of God, but also good music. Good music can help to calm and quiet your soul, okay? And it says there, individually, you need, if your heart's all roughed up and things are difficult and, well, it's a hard day, God wants you to learn how to calm and quiet your soul. I'm just saying here, you have these instruments like this, you know, that are strings. Now the New American Standard says there, verse 3, with resounding music, and again, you look at the Hebrew, and that's why it's sometimes hard to understand. You look at the other versions, and another version, melodious, another version, harmonious. And they're sort of different. Resounding has a different idea. So what is it? I'll just say it this way in general. The idea is that godly music is good music. It's good music. It's to be good for our heart, to be good for our soul, our mind, and thinking. That's what I'm saying here. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Chronicles 15, I'm not a real music person in terms of understanding different aspects of it, but I know a couple things. We talk about the brass instruments, right? And brass are louder. So if you had a rough day, you want to go play the trumpet really loud? Probably not. Probably not. But brass instruments do what? They energize. Encourage, get you stirred, right? Strings can soothe your heart. And of course, they can be played together. But 1 Chronicles 15, verse 16 says, David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their relatives, the singers, with instruments of music, harps, lyres, loud sounding cymbals. So there you have the mix. You got the cymbals, loud, to raise sounds of joy. That is the overall goal of the musical instruments is that it helps to generate joy in our hearts, okay? the truth of the songs and the instruments playing together to generate this joy. Then we continue on, verses 27 to 28. David was clothed with a robe of linen with all the Levites who were carrying the ark and the singers, and Chenaiah, the leader of the singing, with the singers. David also wore an ephod of linen. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting, with sound of the horn, with trumpets, with loud-sounding cymbals, with harps and lyres. So they had the whole band was playing. Everything, the whole orchestra was going at it there. So again, this is important here, this music. And one thing for myself, and I'm not good at this, and I probably need to improve in this, is during the course of the week, I know I'm for myself, I need to sing more, or I need to listen to good Christian music more. I'm not going to debate either one, but the verses do say sing, so it's important for us to learn to sing, because I really think sometimes we get down and discouraged, and learning to sing to the Lord is one way to overcome that discouragement. You personally singing to the Lord, or listening to good music as well. And there's tons of good music out there. There's so much. It's very good, what God has blessed us with. But that the point here is that God wants us to be worshiping. He wants us to be singing to Him. And here we see in Psalm 92, it's a response then to the work of God. We are singing and worshiping to the Lord because of that. So the final thought here I want to say in this little passage is these verses don't mean that you have to play an instrument. I don't play an instrument, well, harmonica, but not much. But most of us probably don't play instruments. But if you can, that's fine. That's good. The overall point is that God wants you to worship Him. That's the thing, and that's what you see. The book of Psalms, more than any other book, makes it very clear. I don't know how many times the word praise is used. I should look it up sometimes, but it's used many, many times to exalt the Lord and to worship the Lord, to praise Him, which is another just way to say love the Lord. You love the Lord, and you love the Lord by your actions, but you also love the Lord by worshiping Him. That's what we're to do. And so declaring God's love is what the psalmist did in the morning, and declaring His faithfulness is what he did at night. And I've said this before, you want to have, as an individual, a time and a place. I've got my back porch. I love my back porch. I love my back porch. Just peaceful back there. And every morning, I'm back in the back porch, you know. Declaring the love of God, reading the Word, being encouraged, that's what He wants. And so it's important for you, too, have this, I believe, time and place. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. I like this story here. I believe you probably all know it. Daniel chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. Daniel 6, 10, 7. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den, which of course means death. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document, that is, the injunction. Now, when David knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. That was his habit. Three times a day, he worshiped the Lord. Turn towards Jerusalem, kneeling down, that's what he would do. So we have that example. So as believers, we're to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, with the entirety of our being from the depth of our heart. And music, what we're saying, helps us to do that. This singing and using instruments helps us then to be ones who are worshiping God. It can stir our hearts. It can make us more passionate and more excited about the Lord. And that then is a good thing. Now, back to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. I'll read these again. Verses 4 and 5. You, O Lord, have made me glad by what you have done. I will sing for joy at the work of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord, your thoughts are very deep. So this then ties in with what we just said. We're talking about singing to God because of his works. And here we read that they are great works. It's important to understand this here. So we're not just talking about some small or cheap God. We're talking about a great God who greatly loves you, who then does great works. That's what we are saying. Psalm 126:3, I like this. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. You see, so we're talking about this gladness. We talked about Psalm 1 Chronicles 15, you know, sounds of joy. And this thought of joy and gladness is a very common theme. God wants his people to be glad. And sometimes I'm thinking, am I glad? Am I joyful? I look at my face in the mirror. You don't look so spiritually happy, Steve. Come on, let's get going here. You should be glad about what God is doing. And sometimes we adjust a little bit. We just, you know, am I a good advertisement for the faith as I go out and about during my day? Am I a glad person in my soul, in my heart, in my countenance, in my words, all these things? And see, that's what we're talking about. And so God does these works because he does want to affect and transform our hearts and our emotions and our lives. He wants to make us glad. God wants to make you glad. Now, I understand we have different personalities. I know that. And so some people are more that way, but regardless of your personality, God wants to make you glad. He wants you to be joyful. He wants you to be spiritually happy. That's what he wants. And God wants you to sing songs that are joyful in nature. Okay? Songs then that get your mind on God and the works that he is doing. And then songs that stir your mind and heart to worship the Lord, to thank him, to praise him. And it so happens, I mean, this song sheet today, it is one of the most joyful song sets I think I've ever seen we've had here. I mean, that's good. I love it. This is great. I like joyful songs. I'm not into the, I mean, I know some songs are more down and stuff, but and they're still good too. But this is a great set. This song set today that we're singing really illustrates, you know, what we're talking about here. God wants us to sing songs of joy. I mean, one of my favorites is number one in the hymn book. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Okay, that's a great, we got Joy to the Lord, Joy to the World, this Christmas song, and many other songs. We have some here today. But as a Christian, God wants you personally, I'm talking about personally, because you can think, I sing on Sunday. No, personally, do you have songs of joy that are in your personal repertoire that you sing, that you think of? And that's why, let me say, it's good. You might throw away your song sheets every day. I wouldn't do it. Save 10 or 20 or 30. So you have songs you can go back to and you can sing. Sometimes I forget and I have to ask Marcia, what's the tune to this? But usually I remember, because we sing, we repeat our songs here. So it's a good thing to have these songs and sing joyful songs. That's what we're talking about here. And so the first five verses, then we've talked about God's name. We've talked about God's faithfulness, God's loving kindness, and God's thoughts. And all these words, these four words, all relate to the work that God is doing in our lives, okay? They all relate to the work that God is doing because he wants us then to be thankful people, to be rejoicing people, to be ones who are praising him, ones who are then singing to him and singing joyfully too. That's what we are saying. And so the focus of this message has been on God and on his character and on his works, and particularly in our own lives, and of course in the lives, I think of you all here, the people that you know closely that are in your own sphere, thinking of God's work in their lives. And of course his works are to impact our lives, and the bottom line theme then of this psalm, and to result in us then worshiping him. That's what we're saying, okay? So this really is a message on the works of God and you worshiping him for what he does for you. So the rest of the psalm, I said before, focuses on the unrighteous and it focuses on the righteous. So the next part of this psalm next week will be, I don't want to say a downer, it's just the truth. 6 through 9, the unrighteous. But we need to see this because there's a lot of unrighteousness going on in the world around us today. And what does God think? And man, he is really clear cut. You know, like that verse I said before, the name of the wicked will rot. You know, we get upset about what's going on. Don't you worry. God's working. He's working. He'll take care of the wicked if they don't repent sooner or later. That's what he will do. And so anyway, we'll talk about that next week. And I want to close our time by just reading these last verses of Psalm 92, and then again we'll pick it up. I say, Lord willing, next week. Senseless man has no knowledge, nor does a stupid man understand this, that when the wicked sprouted up like grass and all who did iniquity flourished, it was only that they might be destroyed forevermore. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies will perish. All who do iniquity will be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of the wild ox. I've been anointed with fresh oil, and my eye has looked exultingly upon my foes. My ears hear of the evildoers who rise up against me. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. We bless you for your love and kindness. Thank you for you being a God who loves us so much and personally working our lives and helping us to know you more. And sometimes, Lord, we will admit our hearts are hard or stubborn, and we don't think about you. We don't give thanks. You don't worship you. We don't even really think about how you're working our lives, but you are every day. Surely your goodness and love follow us all day long and all the days of our lives. But I thank you, Lord, for the truth that you give us here. Might we learn from it, Lord. Might we see the practicality of it. Might each one of us here be ones who are declaring your love in the morning, your faithfulness at night. Might be that which we should do. And I just pray that you'd help us, God, strengthen us. All of us here have difficulties, different things that are going on. Some may be very severe difficulties. I pray you give all of us the grace and peace, all the grace and peace that we need. But lead us and guide us and use us for your purposes and glory. We ask you for that. Pray for Bethel. Bless their church. Raphael, all the leaders, Lord, have your hand upon them. And really, Lord, all the Christians in this country and around the world, again, we thank you that you want to work with us, and you are helping us then to be the soldiers, to be ones who are fighting for you, because it's not just a matter of working for you, it's also fighting for you. But thank you again for your great love and kindness and mercy towards each one of us here in our church. We thank you again. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning. Now we got an announcement. May 29th, Wednesday, we have a Bible study. Steve is going through Matthew 24, verses 42 to 51 at 6:45 p.m. If you're able to make it, great. It's, you're always welcome. June 3rd to the 7th is Bethel Vacation Bible School. That's next week. All activities for us will be suspended. No ladies meeting, no men's meeting, and no Wednesday meeting. And with that, also with Bethel, is if you missed the announcement last week, we are helping Bethel with serving two meals during that time on Monday and also on Wednesday. We have some volunteer. Thank you if you already signed up. But if you haven't signed up and you're able, you're welcome to sign up for that. And also we're looking for helpers to the teachers. You will be helping them with just passing out materials and bringing the kids from the classroom to the dining room, to the fellowship hall. The serving of the food, we're doing the preparation. So we're doing a sandwich on Monday and noggins on Wednesday. So some of us are going to be here between 4 and 8 o'clock. So if you can make it that time, that'd be great. And also we're looking for financial support for that. We have some envelopes over there, and if you're able to contribute for that endeavor, that'd be awesome. Also, some of the men from Bethel, they are going to a short mission trip to New York. Keep it in their prayers. They're driving, so pray they you know, for their safety, because they're driving all the way from here to New York. And also, these missions are self-supported. Also, if you have, you know, if you're able to contribute to that, I mean, pay for meals and transportation, gas, and all that kind of stuff. And we have some envelopes for that. And remember, these contributions are above and beyond the regular tithe. So that's why we ask you to mark that in the envelope. So also on the back table, we have a daily devotional. We have plenty of them. If you can take one for yourself and also for a friend, for a neighbor, there's a very good devotional to be in the Word on a daily basis. It's marked by day, so it's for the entire month of June. So we have plenty of those over there. I think that's it. Oh, I had a sign-up sheet there. If you have another opportunity to sign up, I forgot the regulars that I have, so I made some of them over there, so they're good. Now we have the last two songs and the offerings. Remember, you can give online on the box. It's in the box, or you can mail it in. Thank you. Have a great week.
Steve and I don't usually coordinate on his sermon and my music, but and God coordinates anyway. I don't know why. This week I decided it would be all songs of worship and praise. That worked out quite well. Would you stand with me? We do our last two songs. This is a great psalm about, or I guess a hymn about, the character of God. Sometimes as people, we can't really identify with God because we're human, and he's obviously not, but there are some hymns and parts of scripture that help us realize how far above the heavens that God is and how far above us he is in his character. This is one of those, called Immortal, Invisible.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains high soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on a tree, and wither and perish, but naught changeth thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, oh, help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee.
Great song to go out with at the end of our worship service, a reminder that God desires for us, as long as we are able, as long as we're have breath within us, to worship him and praise him, or worship the King.
Mm-hmm. worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Oh, tell of His might, or sing of His grace, whose robe is the light, whose canopy space. His chariots of wrath, the deep thunder clouds form, and dark is His path on the wings of the storm. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust, and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Benediction from Psalm 115. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, Maker of heaven and earth. Amen.